Hey, it's Pastor John Haggard at Treasure Top. Today I want to share a 60-second radio message on what to do when you can't get away from you. Have you ever felt that way? Like, man, what is wrong with me? When life is pulling you under, it seems like there's no escape. The 60-second radio message is fast-paced because of the time limit we have for radio. But after the message, I'm going to provide you some wisdom and discernment directly from God's Word on a breakthrough for you. And at the end of this podcast, I have another exciting story to tell you about on what happened recently that is a direct result of your contributions, your support, and your prayers. Now, here's the radio message. Ever wondered what do you do when you can't get away from you? Hi, it's Pastor John Haggard from TreasureTop.com. Ever been told you are your own worst enemy? Proverbs 28:26 in the NIV Bible says, "Those who trust in themselves are fools, but those who walk in wisdom are kept safe." If we concentrate solely on ourselves without seeking God's word on what to do, we do make foolish decisions. One way to get our minds off ourselves is to volunteer. For example, serving meals at a homeless shelter. Volunteering shuts down stinking thinking, pity parties, and helps eliminate GIGO. That's the acronym for garbage in, garbage out. If we sit around and fill our minds with garbage about ourselves or others, we'll make garbage decisions. Much like a regular diet of junk food negatively impacts physical health. For five additional ways on what to do when you can't get away from you, listen to my full podcast at treasuretop.com and subscribe to my free newsletter at treasuretop.com. So, what do you do when you can't get away from you? Ever wondered that? Well, I think first we must understand that we are what we think about. What we feed our mind directly impacts how we feel and what we do. And that's why it's so important to know how to get rid of stinking thinking before we can figure out what do you do when you can't get away from you. The first question we should always ask ourselves is, are we trying to figure out everything on our own by ourselves? There's actually someone who loves the fact that you are alone and isolated, and his name is the devil. The devil loves to find isolated people and stir it up real good, telling you things like, don't stand for that, you don't have to listen to that, or you don't deserve to be treated that way, take revenge, get them back. Or it's okay for you to look at that porn site, after all, your wife won't give you what you want, so go ahead. Now, some of you might ask, is that really true? Is there really a devil? Or is it a made-up character? Well, that's a good question. So, the answer is found in the Bible. And one important note is that all Scripture is God-breathed. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is inspired by God and beneficial for teaching, for rebuke, for correction, for training in righteousness. So if we look at Scripture as the authority of God, God-breathed Scripture in 1 Peter 5:8 in the Amplified Version says, be sober, well-balanced, and self-disciplined. Be alert and cautious at all times. That enemy of yours, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, fiercely hungry, seeking someone to devour. And any time we're isolated, we are a prime target for attack. When you think about it, it's hard to fend off someone or something by ourselves. We can easily be overpowered. Ecclesiastes 4:10 in the NIV says, if either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. So if we rely on the wisdom of God who tells us what to do, the key then is to get people around you to help you, first of all, get rid of that stinking thinking. You should also ask yourself, what and who am I surrounding myself with? Who's giving me advice? What am I reading? What am I watching online? Is it really just GIGO, garbage in, garbage out? Here's a prediction that I can make, and you can too, in anyone's life and in your life. It's this, show me your friends, and I will show you your future. What that means is who you hang out with has a direct impact on who you are, what you believe, and what you're going to do next, and what you will become. It's very important to choose who your close friends are. The Bible says in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So really what is being said is, who is our authority in life? Is it God, or is it some person or something other than God? Now, we need to understand that everything we are about to do begins with a thought in our mind. Thought leads to action, action leads to consequence, and consequence results in outcome. It's either good or bad. That's why we need to think about what we think about, because what we think about determines if GIGO, garbage in, garbage out, becomes part of our life or not. Otherwise, as Galatians 6, 7, and 8 in the NIV Bible says, a man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. What this verse is talking about is, are we going to rely on God, that's the Spirit, or are we going to rely on ourselves, that's the flesh? The problem with living in the flesh is that we want to do what always feels good to us instead of what we should do. James 1:14-15 adds, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Now, this passage speaks to the process of temptation and sin, starting with personal desires, and that's that part of living in the flesh. When we allow these desires, the flesh, to pull us away from what's right, it leads to sin, which ultimately results in spiritual death. So our fleshly desires can become our own worst enemies when they lead us into sin. That's why we don't want to live in the flesh. We want to live in the Spirit. And do you know the only reason we sin? It's because sin feels good. Otherwise, we wouldn't sin. Think about it. When you want to yell and scream at somebody or get revenge, get them back for what they did to you, adulterous affairs begin the same way, choosing to live in the flesh instead of living in the Spirit. Another cause of stinking thinking that makes one wonder what to do when you can't get away from you is when we think we know it all and don't want anybody to tell us what to do. Proverbs 16:18 in the Bible reminds us, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. This proverb is a reminder that pride can be self-destructive. When we let pride control us, it often leads to our downfall. Sometimes people will ask me, why is it that great men and great women with these really big reputations, and then you learn they're a crook or a con, or they've had an adulterous affair? Why is that? What's going on? Well, you can really explain it with three letters, E-G-O, ego, and that stands for edging God out. And that's what living in the flesh is all about, edging God out, ego. And back to that word pride, have you ever noticed that in the word pride, the middle letter is I? When we center our lives around I, just like the word pride is centered with I in the middle, we're destined for a fall. There's some other words that are centered around the letter I that are in the middle of the word. Interesting, they include the word crime, whine, criticize, gossiping, lying, thief, envious, deceitful, defiant, and devious. Isn't that interesting that the I, which means it's all about me, is right there in the middle of that word? Now, of course, not all pride is bad. It is okay to take pride in your children or pride in your work. It's just when pride becomes all about I, the middle letter in the word pride, that pride becomes self-centered and all about me. Look at what I've done, instead of giving the glory to the Father who empowers us. So what are six ways to conquer what do you do when you can't get away from you? One way we mentioned in the 60-second radio message is to serve others. Anytime we can get our mind off ourselves by helping someone in need, did you know that your brain actually undergoes chemical reactions that include the release of dopamine? That's a neurotransmitter associated with feelings of pleasure and satisfaction, sometimes referred to as the helper's high. There's also the oxytocin release, often called the love hormone or social bonding hormone, and it's released when we engage in acts of kindness or generosity. This hormone plays a key role in social bonding and empathy, and its release can generate feelings of warmth and connection and general just well-being. Helping others can also lead to reduced activity in parts of the brain associated with stress, such as the amygdala, which can result in lower stress levels and feelings of calm and tranquility. I think we all need a little bit more of that these days, don't you think? Now, the exact neurobiological mechanism is still a subject of active research, but the aspects I just mentioned have already been identified. Now, let's look at a second way to help solve what do you do when you can't get away from you. And it really should be the first thing to do, and that is to love God. The Bible in Luke 10:27 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. Now, you might say, I don't really believe there is a God, so how can I love God? Well, let me ask you this. How much do you think it would cost you to love God and to accept His Son as your Lord and Savior? The good news is there is no amount of money, no amount of good works, no amount of perfection, no amount of good behavior, nothing you can do or have to do other than ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and really mean it. That's it. No other checklist, period. And there are two benefits you instantly receive. One is the Holy Spirit. That's the guiding force that'll give you the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead to help lead you and guide you in your life, to help you become a new person in Christ, to show you how to live with yourself when you can't get away from yourself. Isn't that amazing? Think about that. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead you can have. It's known as the Holy Spirit. And it comes into you the moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The second benefit is you have a non-cancelable reservation for a home in heaven for eternity because your past, present, and future sins are forgiven, paid for in full by Jesus Christ. Now, where else can you get a deal like that? And here's a bonus if you've ever wondered, what is the real reason I am on earth? Why was I born? Have you ever wondered that or known somebody who's wondered that or maybe someone's asked you that? Can't figure out why I'm really here. When someone accepts Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit will show you that where you bleed, you lead. In other words, what breaks your heart? The answer to the question is the key reason you were put on this earth, to help lead others out of their despair. Maybe you were a drug addict, or maybe an alcoholic, maybe a sex addict. Did you know there is no better person than you to help another person who is going through what you went through because you know what you went through and you know how to guide them out of that because you got out of there yourself? And know that God does not call the qualified. He qualifies those he calls. Just like when God called Moses to Egypt in the Old Testament, told him in Exodus 6:6, "Therefore say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment." And you know what Moses did? He really expressed his fear and anxiety in Exodus 4, and he asked in verse 1, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, 'The Lord did not appear to you?'" And in verse 10, Moses said, "Pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." And the third thing Moses says in verse 13, "Pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else." And you know what the Lord did? He answered Moses in verses 11 to 12, "Who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. I will help you speak and will teach you what to say." And of course, God had more to say, but you get the point. If you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God will tell you what to do. And his words will help you solve, what do you do when you can't get away from you? A third way to help solve, what do? When you can't get away from you is love others. Luke 10:27 says, "Love your neighbor as yourself." Similar to what's released in the brain when we help others, loving others as ourselves, which is a form of helping others, produces similar chemical reactions in the brain like we talked about earlier. Now, a fourth way to help solve what do when you can't get away from you is being responsible in part for more people getting into heaven by spreading the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Matthew 28:19 says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." There's no greater act you can do in anybody's life than to be responsible in part for someone going to heaven. Talk about chemical reactions in the brain to see someone become saved by accepting Jesus Christ. Wow! A fifth way to help solve what do when you can't get away from you is intercessory prayer. You know what that is? That means praying on behalf of the needs of others. As an example, did you know that Jesus Christ prays for you? Hebrews 7:25 in the NIV Bible says, "Therefore he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them." In Romans 8:34, "Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us." Now, you'll hear people from time to time say, "You know, I just don't have time to volunteer. I'm so busy." And maybe they are, especially if they travel internationally on a regular basis. But you know what everyone has time to do? Pray. And to pray for the needs of others. Here's a sixth way to help solve what do when you can't get away from you. It's tithing. Did you know that the most sensitive nerve in the body is the one that goes from your heart to your wallet? I mean, take some money out of somebody's wallet and see how they react. Malachi 3:10 in the NIV Bible says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it." Now, a word of warning when it comes to the subject of tithing, giving 10% of your first fruits of your income. God is not a vending machine. Stay clear of prosperity gospel teachers that say, put in and God will give out. That if you're not getting what you want, you're not giving enough and you don't have enough faith. That is a false gospel. And don't believe a word of it. 2 Corinthians 9:6 and 7 says, "The point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." In other words, never give out of guilt or pressure from anyone. God doesn't need your money. If you give out of any motivation other than that of a cheerful giver, it won't be credited to you. So what you have just heard are six of the ways you can conquer. What do you do when you can't get away from you? There are certainly more ways, but I wanted to give you a quick start list of things that you can begin doing starting right now. Otherwise, knowledge of what to do without action to do just becomes merely entertainment. So how do you get started? Well, it's kind of like eating a porterhouse steak. You start with one bite at a time. Choose one of the six ways and get started today. Then add each of the other five ways one by one, and you will conquer what to do when you can't get away from you. Now, as I promised earlier, I'd like to tell you a brief story of what happened recently as a direct result of your financial support and prayers for Treasure Top Ministries. I received an email from a lady named Charlotte who will be going to Italy soon to spread the saving grace of Jesus Christ to those who do not know him. She will go once she has raised enough funds for the trip, and she will learn Italian in order to be able to speak effectively. And Treasure Top is one of the supporters of Charlotte's mission from the donations that you send us. So we are most grateful for any amount that you are able to give. Did you know that you get to choose where you are going to spend eternity? The choice is totally yours, and no one can make it for you, only you. If you have not already accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, or maybe you've strayed away, you want to renew your relationship with Christ, I'd like to lead you in this brief prayer. And you can repeat this prayer out loud or to yourself, or you can just say, "Me too, Lord." You see, we never know when our last day on earth alive will be, and that's why it's so important to accept Christ now, because there are no do-overs, no second chances to accept Christ once we die a physical death, meaning there is no second chance to get into heaven. You know, a lot of people don't know that. They just say, "Well, you know, I'll get around to it one day, but right now I'm having a pretty good time doing my thing." So just pray this: "Jesus, come into my heart. I proclaim you my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of my sins. And Father, please also forgive us for the most ungracious things we say to those we love the most. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen." If you just prayed that prayer and really mean it in your heart, congratulations, and would you let me know about it? Email me, john@treasuretop.com. That's john@treasuretop.com. And if you'd like to help us finance the spread of the good news of Jesus Christ, you can go to our website, treasuretop.com, and press the Give button right there on the top of the menu. Or if you'd rather do it mobily, text the word GIVE to 844-553-1590. That's the word GIVE to 844-553-1590. And if you prefer, you can also mail your gift to P.O. Box 210-615, Nashville, Tennessee, 37221. That's P.O. Box 210-615, Nashville, Tennessee, 37221. Just want to say thank you for your prayers and your financial support. And as you may know, no one at Treasure Top takes a salary. We do this for free. And if you're unable to give financial support, your prayers for Treasure Top are just as important. Would you pray for us that these messages will be responsible to help more people get into heaven? And I'll preach a podcast soon on the importance of prayer and the tremendous impact it has in all of our lives. If you'd like to be notified of our latest podcast episodes, just click on the episode and press the word subscribe. You can also share our podcast with friends or people you know who need an encouraging word. Just click on the podcast message and you will see the word share next to the word subscribe. And of course, you can also download the episode if you like. Until next time, it's Pastor John Haggard saying, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.